This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are pretty excited about our guest today because seniors 2000 rule.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
Jonah, because we went to high school with our guests today and middle school and all school with our guests today, I thought we could talk about something from when we were little that used to happen that was absolutely humiliating, which was when the moms would come into the classroom and check everybody for lice. Do you remember that, Jonah?
I do remember that. I wonder if that still happens. Yeah, that you would come in, you have to sit down, they'd have those little
Popsicle sticks almost.
Yeah, popsicle sticks. And they kind of would just go through your hair. And I think it was like kids' moms, right? I don't think.
Yeah.
And they would look for lice, I guess. And then if you had them, you'd get sent home.
If you had them, you'd get like sent, I think, to the nurse's office. It was such a nightmare moment because if someone got sent out of the room, it was like shaming them. It was like,
yeah,
they've got lice, they're unhygienic. And
it doesn't seem very scientific the way they're doing it either.
Yeah. And also, I think had we been like a few years older when they were doing it, it would have been like so humiliating. At least we were like young enough that maybe we didn't get as embarrassed as if we were, but it was still, anyway, I think we should, Jonah, introduce our guest because I'm really curious if he remembers this. I'm sure he does. He has an amazing memory and what his thoughts are.
Let's do it. Do you want to give a little intro?
Yes. Our guest today is a senior writer at Rolling Stone who writes about music, movies, and television and runs the Unknown Legends and King for a Day interview franchises. He is also the author of the New York Times bestselling book, The Office, The Untold Story of the Greatest Sitcom of the 2000s. He is also my friend from growing up and the person I go to with every question about our high school. Please welcome Andy Green.
Hey, guys. I'm thrilled to be here. So hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. Now, Andy, do you remember lice tests?
I have vivid memories of the PTA moms. They would enter our classroom, right, and we line up by the sink. We go one by one. We'd put our head down. They would use chopsticks in our hair slowly and go through everything. And I would just pray, please don't have me be the dirty kid who's sent to the office. It would be so humiliating. You have to leave the room with lice. It was like a scarlet letter or something that you had to wear.
Yes.
I never had it, but my sister had it once and they called me home. Yeah. So I got called on the PA down to the nurse's office. And I'm like, what'd I do? And they go, you have to go home because your sister has lice. I'm like, I don't have lice. So I had to go home and I might have my hair washed in the sink with this gross crap and everything. It was just mortifying.
Wow.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think we ever got it, Vanessa.
I don't think we ever got it either because I don't remember. But I remember that was the thing, right? Was like if you had it, you had to use this like really strong shampoo.
It was this rancid crap that I hated. I was like six or something, but I still remember this. I have stronger memories of the spine checks, which the same PTA moms.
Yeah.
They come in and do. You would be in the gym locker room or the corner of the classroom. You would pull your shirt up to your shoulders. You would bend over and the moms like traced your spine with their finger or something. It was completely insane because they weren't doctors.
Right.
To see if you had scoliosis, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Weird. I don't remember that. I remember, do you two remember in gym there was a thing where like, it was like almost like a stretching competition where it's like they put blocks up and if you could reach your toe, it was like some kind of international like test or something.
Yes.
Are you talking about the like universal?
Yeah.
Where there was like 13 challenges and only Nathan Kanner did all of them.
It was just Nathan Kanner who could do anything. Yeah. She was amazing.
What was it called? It was called like the national, there was like throwing a basketball at a wall and catching it. Oh yeah. Our producer, Olivia, the presidential fitness test.
Yeah. It was very stressful when you're throwing that basketball against the wall and they have a stopwatch. And I'm like, I can't fucking do this.
You have to throw a basketball against a wall and catch it. Yeah. And then you have to jump with both feet over a stick or like over sort of like a low balance beam. And I remember watching Delia Wheat do it and she was like incredible at it. And I tried to do it. I got over like twice in a minute.
I couldn't do shit, but they kept the records that were from past years even. And it was just Nathan Kanner down the line for everything.
I remember like Nathan Kanner being in the gym in like seventh grade and accepting an award because it was like he was the only one. Because it was sort of weird. It's like if this is the presidential fitness test, like why is it so hard? Like why it shouldn't be so hard?
Because all the presidents are like 80-year-old guys.
Yeah, that George H.W. Bush, he can throw a ball against the wall 100 times in a row.
Yeah.
What's funny is the kids counted. So I remember Rob Price, he won by some huge number. And he whispered to me, I think they counted way wrong. You know, so it was not
right.
It was not enforced very well.
Yeah, it's like this PTA mom thing. It's like you got to have the right systems in place.
Yeah, it was no
system.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
Also, was one of the challenges also to do an obstacle course or was the obstacle course separate?
That was different and that was freaking crazy because it was you and your switch class would both be in the gym and you'd sit there for the whole gym class and have like 2 minutes on your own. As like 60 kids, they'd watched you do this thing. And I was slow. I couldn't get over the wall or anything, you know? And it was like girls who I had crushes on and everything were watching me just like run into a wall over and over again and try and like go through like that weird tunnel thing. It was just humiliating.
Yeah, it's so like, why did they set up an obstacle course for us in the gym? Like, just let us live our lives.
Yeah, and our friend Matt Neff is a gym teacher now, and he told me, yes, he is, which is awesome. And he told me that looking back on that, it breaks every single rule that they're taught in school about how to do gym class, because there's no activity for most kids. It's just sitting there for the whole class, basically.
Right.
Yes.
Does he play battle ball with his students? Because that's the one thing that I really am still mad about.
I think they've kind of killed battle ball, if I had to guess. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was petrifying to just stand there as balls are just being chucked at your face and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Like the super bad kids were just like so violent about it.
They were going nuts. Yeah. I would hide in the back by those wrestling mats that they rolled up and just cower in fear.
Same. I was always like the last person standing because I was hiding.
Yes.
Andy, I had a couple, and I don't want to change the tone of this podcast because we're going back to this, but I had a couple kind of music questions for you.
Shoot.
If that's okay.
Please.
Because we both, you know, I was a music editor at Alternative Press. We both have kind of been editors. I know, you know, I've written for Corey and Brenna, other people at Rolling Stone. And so.
Yeah, of course.
We don't know each other. We went
Which
to school together,
shocking.
Apparently.
You went to the same school 2 years apart.
2 years apart. You have a good memory. I have a terrible memory.
Do you remember, wait, really quickly, Andy, do you remember Jonah floating down the hallway in such big JNCOs that you couldn't even see his feet move?
No, I don't remember that. No,
yeah, we had like parallel existence, but but you know, what's interesting is like, you know, I read Rolling Stone, and every time I read, you know, I know Corey does a lot of the Metallica stuff, which is like incredible, but also whenever I read a story that I'm like, oh, this is a story I would be interested in writing, it's almost always something you wrote. And the two that really stand out to me are the feature about Live and the McMars Motley Crue one.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, like, what it was like kind of writing. I know they're very different stories, but to me, like, it got so deep into Live and the lawsuit, and it was so complicated. I'm wondering if you could just talk about that a little bit.
Wait, is this about the band
Throwing Copper?
I Alone.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay, got
And that's kind of a nostalgic band, both of those bands. So I'm wondering if you could just talk about those a little, because you wrote these incredible stories.
Yeah, for Live, it was kind of crazy. I have an interview franchise that Vanessa mentioned called King for a Day, where I interview replacement singers in rock bands. So people that sang for Journey or Yes or Genesis and were fired later. You know, it's always a great story. Now, speaking to the guy who sang for Live about 6 years ago, he was just there briefly. And he was like, shit has gone insane in Live right now. It's like Ed fired the whole band. They're suing each other. It's gone fucking bonkers. So I'm like, what? So I did some research. I saw that it's just complete madness that the band that they fired Ed essentially at one point, and then he came back and then fired them. And it's all... So if you saw Live 6 years ago and you see them now, it's completely different people on the stage. That I was fascinated. So I emailed all the guys. I'm like, hey, I'd love to do a feature on Live. And it was just the guitarist who got back to me. So he goes, dude, if you come to Pennsylvania, I will spend the day with you. I will tell you everything. So I go, great. I took the train out there, and he told me this wild story about this alleged con artist that entered their world, and he allegedly stole all of their money, and there's a million lawsuits, and they hate each other, and the drummer's gone QAnon, and none of them are speaking, they're all suing each other, and this alleged con artist guy, he was under house arrest for sexual assault against one of their employees. And so I just went in deep, and I talked to all of them who I could. I spoke to the guy who was under house arrest. I spoke to the drummer, who was very Trumpy, and wrote just this wild story of how this 90s band just devolved into absolute chaos. And in all my years at Rolling Stone, I've never talked to people who have such hatred for each other.
Yeah.
Like this raw, burning, obsessive hatred of each other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was sad.
Well, it's like, it's interesting because I read... My kind of guilty pleasure is reading this website, Blabbermouth, which is of course. And it's like incredible how many of these guys now in their like 50s and 60s are just all fighting, all suing each other, all in like 19 different bands fighting for the name. And it's like, what? Well, how many people are even interested in this in the first place?
Yeah, it fascinates me that the band Rat or something, they're all fighting for crumbs. They're all fighting for the right like to play at these tiny bars and make virtually not enough money to pay like their gas and their hotel. It's this faded spotlight they're all clinging to as hard as they can, and they just hate each other. And I'm fascinated. There's people like Simon and Garfunkel and Pink Floyd that they're in their 80s now, and the hatred of each other has never been worse.
Yeah. And so, yeah, speaking of that, what was it like going to McMars's house? Because like that is such an... And you were kind of the exclusive person writing about this.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That was intense. He lives in like this gothic just castle in the suburbs of Tennessee. And in my mind, I view him as like this vampire or something.
Who is McMars?
He's the guitarist of Motley Crue that they
fired. Got it. Okay.
Yeah,
so he was fired, and it's kind of this contentious. They're suing each other now. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's this wicked spine disease. His whole body is like a question mark. He's all hunched over. It was fun, though. He was super funny. He was super warm. We'd spent 2 days talking. Then I had Nikki Sixx on the phone, who was not too happy with me or Mick or this article happening. It was very awkward. But it was just the same thing of just lawsuits and just rage at each other, just absolutely hating each other. It was sad. Wow.
What kind of music were you into like when we were in like high school, middle school? Were you into like alternative music, or what was your kind of preference?
I was into classic rock. It was all like 98.5, which was just tattooed in my brain. I grew up on all that stuff on Cleveland radio. I was into prog. I like Genesis, but then I got way into Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen and like Neil Young and just all that stuff.
Yeah.
And one of our first concerts, both of us, was Phil Collins, Genesis.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I love Genesis. I have since the fifth grade when We Can't Dance came out. I saw Steve Hackett play Foxtrot about 5 days ago straight through. It was awesome.
Wow. Yeah. I went with Jason Williger's parents to see him on the We Can't Dance tour.
Oh, wow. It was at Cleveland Stadium. And that was in 92 in the pouring rain, right?
Yeah, that was. And that my first concert was Phil Collins solo on the But Seriously tour.
Wow. It's going way back. That's like 1990.
It was like 90, 91. It was my first, I was like, 11 years old or something. But yeah, I saw those. Wow. Those were my first two shows. And then my third was Guns N' Roses Illusion Tour at Richfield Coliseum.
With our mom.
Oh,
with my mom.
Shit. That was with your mom.
Yeah, yeah. With and Skid Row.
Wow. Wow. Did he wear a kilt? Like Axel?
I think he was wearing, remember he would wear that Nine Inch Nails shirt, that white one with like the big red. I think he was wearing that shirt.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. I'm very jealous that you saw those shows. I would have killed to have seen any of that stuff.
Well, it sounds like you're making up for it now.
Well, yeah, I see a lot now. Yeah.
Can I ask what, I just want to ask about something that came up earlier. What is Blabbermouth? Is it like a gossip site for rock bands?
It's kind of like, it's like kind of the opposite of Rolling Stone, I would say. It's like, basically if someone gives like, Andy, you explain it. I mean, I can explain if I'm curious of your take on it.
It's a heavy metal and hard rock news site that pretends as if Vince Neil's solo work is still really interesting and worth covering. And so every time a bassist in LA Guns is on a podcast, they transcribe like the choice bits of it and they post it. They do no interviews of their own.
Yeah. Basically, like, the fact that we've mentioned Motley Crue with Andy on this podcast could be 7 articles on Blabbermouth, because they basically just take quotes from podcasts and just like make them into 19 articles.
And every time that Vince Neil plays a solo show at a casino in like Poughkeepsie, they post the audience video. And it's the same songs he always does. Yeah, there's no news value whatsoever. It's like, watch Vince Neil sing Girls, Girls, Girls at a casino.
Yeah.
It'll and be it's like, daily. Yeah.
Yeah. Rob Zombie says, new record is going to be pretty good. And then it's like, and then it's like a quote.
Yeah. It's the worst quotes in the same 12 acts over and over and over again. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I go there every day about 5 times. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Me and I have a friend, my friend Brian, we just send stuff back and forth because it's so, and it's also like the source material they're using. It's like James's rock blog, it's like the most obscure YouTube channels and stuff. Like, it's so funny.
I always think it's so easy to get Dee Snider on the phone for an interview. Just do your own interviews. It's
right,
so easy.
Right. That was our question too. We were like, do you think any of these people say no to things? Like, based on what they're doing? Like, do you think it was like,
No, I think these guys say yes to everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, speaking of saying yes, Andy, what a great segue. You just got married in our hometown of Cleveland. And
First
of all, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Was there anything super nostalgic or like high school that happened while during your nuptials or during that visit to Cleveland?
It was weird to be in Cleveland and have a few high school friends there. Our friend Dan Jacobson, he was the officiator of the wedding.
Yes.
Which was incredible. I love Dan to death.
He's so funny. I bet he was so great. He's so great.
I didn't know what to expect exactly. I'm just standing there in front of 150 people.
And was it at Landerhaven Executive Suites?
No. We did tour Landerhaven as a possibility. It felt very bar mitzvah. It felt very 1994 there.
Where Jonah's Bar Mitzvah luncheon was there.
Great luncheon there, yeah.
It was at Hillbrook.
Okay, great. Very classy.
It's very non-Jewish there, but that's okay. we took over.
Did anyone have their bar and bat? Is that where John Falk and Mike Wasserman had their bar mitzvah?
I remember their co-bar mitzvah. I don't remember that was. I know Dan and Scott Perlmutter's that they were at Whirly Ball, which was the best bar mitzvah of the
year. Mine was Whirly Ball.
Vanessa was Whirly Ball.
Oh, shit.
Too,
awesome. Yeah. Yes. Yes. That was always the best.
So mine was the best.
Yes. I've no doubt. Yes. I had mine. It was at Lake Forest, and it was the first one of the year, basically, because I'm so old.
Whoa.
Yeah. I guess that Joel Schrallow's, it was the week before, but mine was the second. Yes.
Got it. When's your birthday?
It's in June of 81.
Okay.
I was on the cusp of the two grades, and my parents decided that I was really little, that an extra year of preschool would be fine for me.
Got it.
So I drove first. I was bar mitzvahed first. I had everything first.
Yeah. Jonah, you're similar to September 27th.
I was September. So I was old for my grade. I was on the older side. Yeah. So I was doing a lot of stuff first. Yeah. Which is good. A good spot to be in.
To like drive to school the first day of 10th grade was awesome. I had all these people that I hadn't talked to in like 6 years that were like, hey, Andy, I would love a ride home today. You know, it really helped. It was very good for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
I was probably driving to school because Jonah was older. So probably the first day of 10th grade, Jonah, you would have been a senior. You would have been blasting NoFX and getting me to school about 10 minutes late.
A little late. Yeah. Wasn't a real big priority for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you do?
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with our friend, Andy Green.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
And we're back. Well, Andy, we're already getting into so much nostalgic stuff, and we asked you for a topic for today, and you gave us
like 17 incredible topics.
Yes.
Thank you.
So we're going to have you back on the podcast. But the one that really resonated that I don't think we talked about is keyboarding class.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you could just talk about that a little, maybe explain it to be like anyone under 30 or 35 may have no idea what we're talking about.
Or anyone over 65.
It's where they taught you how to type, which was an important skill, and you didn't start it until sixth grade. So I had this vivid memory of being in fifth grade, walking down the hallway. I was going to art class, and I looked in this room. It's a whole room. It was full of actual typewriters at that point, which we didn't have.
But
in our fifth grade, the sixth graders were on these. It was these modern typewriters that were quasi-electric, but were like, they looked like typewriters. And yep. I'm walking past, and the teacher, it was like Mr. Evans, right? Or like Mr. Edwards, I forget.
Mr. Edwards, fifth grade.
Yeah, that was fifth grade, yeah, who was my advisory teacher. But so I'm walking past, and there's this big mustachioed guy in there that's like C, B, A, D, R, E, F, space, S, T, P. And I was like, holy shit, sixth grade's gonna suck. What the fuck is that? It's petrified me.
Yeah.
And by the time we got there, they had updated to computers that had a floppy disks. It was much more modern. They found the typewriters in the side room that were piled up to the ceiling. And they taught us the home keys and the whole deal. You know, it was sort of intimidating.
Yeah.
Well, so here's what happened. I'm 2 years older than both of you, so I was two grades ahead. And here's what happened. We started in fifth grade, so we took keyboarding in fifth grade.
Okay.
Then they changed it. They said, no, now you need to take in sixth grade. So we took in sixth grade. Then they said, no, we're changing it to seventh grade. So my class took keyboarding 3 years in a row.
Wow.
Wow.
And to this day, it's the most valuable skill I've probably learned in my whole school experience. I'm such a good typist. I got ASDF JKLSM here. I'm just for transcribing interviews. I mean, it's yeah. But yeah, we would do like all the games, like words per minute, accuracy. We had like a whiteout key on those typewriters if you made a mistake. But that we had to keep doing this class with Mr. Edwards over and over every year.
So your seventh grade year, was it on a computer? Or I think guess
at
not
one
yet.
Point, yeah, it was on those typewriters. Because I remember we had, like I
there
said.
There were like word processors, right?
Yeah, there was a key where if you made a mistake, there was like almost like a little thing that would click up with whiteout on it.
Oh, so it was like a typewriter.
But
yeah.
Then later we had more like almost word processors where it felt like there were like almost video games where it's like it would time you and then everyone would try to type as fast as possible, but also you had to maintain a level of accuracy.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Now I remember, I remember the ASDF, some like that going through those keys and once in a while, Mr. Edwards, like I remember like on the first day of keyboarding or one of the early days, he had us write out like ass or something. Like he had us write like a swear word to like be funny. And It really worked. Like it was like, we were like, this guy is fantastic. I feel like some of his popular, like, I feel like it was harder. I guess like my opinion of him, you know, probably a good person, but as the assignments would get harder, the class became less fun. Like sometimes you'd have to type out so much stuff in one day in a way that was like, why are we like filing these briefs? We're like kids in sixth grade.
By seventh grade, it became secretarial teaching. It really taught us how to be a full-on secretary. He gave us these documents to type out in full, and we have to format the margins, change the fonts, do all of this bullshit. And it got very tedious. And I did something I'm not proud of.
Yeah, Andy, I if you don't mind telling this story.
You want to come clean? This could end up on Blabbermouth, but we'll
see. I can confess to something. I'm not a cheater. I went through school with honor in Latin class. I had my textbook closed as I was doing all of the quizzes and everything. But seventh grade, I had a moral failing. I got very sick of having to type out all these elaborate things. And they had these cases by our computers and there were floppy disks and like all of them of our other kids and they were all labeled for other classes. And I saw Kung was written on a disk that was over my head. And I was like, that's James Kung's disk. I guarantee you that his work is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. So when he wasn't looking, the teacher, I put it in, I opened up the assignment that he did that morning. I hit select all, copy and put it in mine, hit paste, and it was done for the day. I told my friends about this and they were like, Kung me, you know, I would be Kunged. So I would sit down and when he would look away, I would Kung my entire row.
Whoa.
I would just put their discs in 1 second. I would control V it and we'd all get Kunged. And we were high-fiving at lunch. We were getting straight A pluses. We were doing no work. It was super easy. And then one day we came in and he was like, can I see you guys? This was the teacher. I'm like, oh, fuck. And he had circled the same mistake on all three of ours. It was like two spaces and two capitalizations that were all in a row. And I was like, what? And he goes, the odds, the three of you, you would have the same mistake are one in a million. I'm like, that's funny. I don't know what happened. And he's like, it's obvious you two were just helping each other. I go, how's it even possible? We were typing it. And he goes, look, I know what happened, you guys, that you're working together. And I'm like, I don't understand how. I played dumb. I pretended I didn't even know how that was possible. I think he wound up, we had a stare down for a minute. It was very tense.
Whoa.
And I think he gave us like a D- on the assignment as a compromise of sorts. And we dodged a bullet. And he never even realized that it was James Kung's disc.
Wow, so, he never put that together.
He didn't put together. It was a different class, yeah.
Because to say that you were working together, it's like, that's not what happened. Like that would be actually not that big of a deal if you were like, here's how you type this part. Like, the point is, like, you didn't type anything.
No, I didn't do jack shit. Wow. I felt bad about it. I'm happy James didn't get in trouble because James didn't do a damn thing.
Do you
thing.
Think that James knew that happened? Do you think he knew you used his disc?
I think he had no clue. And to this day, I'm sure he has no clue. James, if you're listening to this, sorry about that.
Well, as Jonah pointed, Jonah asked, is this the same James Kung who opted to not sign the pledge to not smoke in fourth grade?
Yes.
Because as you know, Andy, we were part of the smoke-free class of 2000, and we were asked in fourth grade to sign this thing that said we would never smoke. And I signed it, and I stuck to it. And I still have never smoked a cigarette because I signed a waiver, and I don't want to, you know. But James stood up in our class, I've told this story on here before, and said that when he's in college, he might want to experiment with cigarettes.
Yeah.
Which is, he's the smartest kid in the world. And it was, and yeah.
Yeah. And James was so smart that in middle school, a small bus, it would come to the school in the middle of the day, take him to the high school for high school math classes because he was that smart.
Wow.
He was so smart. We could do a whole episode about James Kung. Yeah, I mean, oh, God.
I just have one more just story about James Kung, that Dan Jacobson, he goes to Brown and he meets these friends in his hallway, and they're from Sacramento, which is where James moved in the middle of high school.
Right. He moved in the, what grade was James in when he moved? It was sad when he left.
It was like 10th or something, I think.
Okay. Okay.
And so they're talking about the smartest kid in their high school that they said that they go, wow. And this kid, James Kung, was a freaking genius at my high school in Sacramento. It was the same James Kung. Yeah.
Incredible.
Oh my God.
Well, I want to, you know, speaking of Mr. Edwards, yeah. I don't know if you remember this, Andy. So yeah, guy, he had a big mustache. He seemed like he was like 50 years old. He was probably like 25. like when you're that young, every adult seems so old.
That's right.
But he, I think, got married to another teacher at our school, like an art teacher. And I remember actually feeling sort of like betrayed by it, because I think there were rumors about it. And then I remember they got married, and I was sort of like, well, why didn't he just tell us what was going on? And that's also like, well, why would he tell a bunch of 13-year-old kids about his like personal life? Of course not.
Yeah, no. And we saw it happening because her art room was right across the hall. It wasn't Miss Dewey. It was Miss Otasic or something?
Yes, is that- I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I hope they're very happy. I'm glad that he and Miss Otasic found love. Not the only... Well, Andy, I want to let you say what were you going to add? Because this is what I was going to say is not the only couple that got together in Brady Middle School and deceived us. Because, okay, I want to say we went on this trip in like sixth grade where we went and we... Jonah, I don't know if you guys did this too, but... We went to learn about the environment by staying in like a sewer. Andy, do you know what I'm talking about? Where we stayed a few nights at like this like conservation.
It was Hiram House Camp for older grades. And our grade was the first grade to go to the Cuyahoga Valley CHCA, some long acronym, where we lived there for two nights.
Sixth grade, right?
Okay. It was sixth grade because seventh grade was the Columbus trip and eighth grade was D.C.
Yeah, we went to Hiram House.
Went to Hiram. Yeah. To this place that was like a little further out.
Okay.
Yes, it was by the Richfield Coliseum, and we were there three full days. We just slept in bunk beds. I was next to Mr. Turpek, and a bunk bed was very awkward.
It was really weird, and we stayed in these rooms with bunk beds, and every room had like maybe 10 students or so. I don't even know how many, and maybe more than that, and one teacher. And yes. I remember the teacher in our, they didn't put me with like a lot of my friends. I do remember that. I remember being like, basically the person that I feel the closest to in this room is the teacher, which was Miss Merchant. And so we had like sort of a night of like girl talk one night, like very, very like mild girl talk with her. And it was like, you can ask everyone. It felt like very unthreatening. As I'm saying it, it seems more like scandalous than it was. But I remember we asked her, like, what's going on with you and Mr. Apple, who was the gym teacher? And this is what she said to us, okay? She fully lied in our faces, which, by the way, I love Miss Merchant. She can do no wrong, but this was wrong. She said, Mr. Apple and I are kind of the only teachers at Brady Middle School who are around the same age. So we just really hit it off. Like, we just really get along because we're kind of like from the same generation, and we just like, you know, we just like talking. We're just friends. Cut to like 2 years later, and they're like getting married and she's having a baby, I think. I can't remember if they had a baby, but they were fully in a relationship and she just lied to us. And I remember when I found out they were getting married, I was like, this is fucked up.
That's a big betrayal. I remember Andy Vermillion saying to me one day, he goes, dude, I went to dinner last night. I was at Jimmy Dodano's, and at the next table was Mr. Apple and Miss Merchant. I was like, no shit. But yeah, spotted it at Jimmy Dodano's.
Wow. 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 Scandalous.
This is unbelievable.
Andy, one other thing that you put a note about was your diet in high school, which I really want to dig into because I think we had kind of some similar eating habits. How would you kind of describe what you were eating during this period of your life?
It was every single thing I ate from the moment I went to bed to the moment that, I woke up to the moment I went to bed, it was sugar-based.
Okay.
I'd wake up and have Cap'n Crunch cereal or like Cookie Crisp. My lunch was just peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Doritos and Ho-Hos. And occasionally, I'd have my lunch at school was a cinnamon raisin and frosting bread from Gale's with cream cheese in the center, which is just cake. It's cake for lunch. And I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
And then I'd go home. We'd get Chinese food. I'd get sweet and sour chicken with extra sweet and sour sauce, fried rice, and like walnut prawns coated like a white sugar sauce. And then I'd go to Dreger's or something, and I'd get like a giant sundae. And that was every day for years. And I weighed 2 pounds. And then we'd have apple cider and apple juice. I would just mainline it all day long. And I thought sugar was just in like candy bars. I didn't realize that I was having like 1,000 grams a day of sugar.
I know. And
complete addict.
And it's also like, because back then it was so different. It was even probably the peanut butter we were eating didn't even have peanuts in it. It was just like sugar flavored like peanuts.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It was everything that our moms, that they would pack us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches just every day. And they didn't think that there's no nutrition in this whatsoever. It was just white bread and sugar.
I mean, I will say if you try like Jif peanut butter now or Peter Pan peanut butter, which was our dad's favorite, now that like grocery stores often have like organic peanut butter or even just regular peanut butter is just peanuts. And if you try Jif or any of those peanut butters now, you're like, oh, this is a dessert. Like, this isn't.
Yeah. No, it's frosting. And then the first, when we toured Brady Middle School in fourth grade and we get into the big lunchroom, I'm like, what is that machine over there by the pretzel rods? And they were like, that's a slush puppy machine. Yeah, slush puppies. And I'm like, you can get slush puppies in school.
Yeah.
So every day I'd have like 4 of them. And I didn't know. It was basically poison. I mean, it was just the most disgusting, sugary, syrupy crap that mom could eat. It didn't occur to me.
They had that little snack bar area, like kind of, and I'd go, you'd be like, I got my lunch, I got my grilled cheese, and then I'm going to like grab a couple zebra cakes, like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle custard pie, maybe a slushy. I mean, it's so funny to think about.
Yeah.
Jonah also had like a real issue. Jonah sort of discovered at Brady Middle School cafeteria, like what was important to him. And he like learned how to,
this has kind of set the tone for my entire adult life. You remember we had a certain day of the week, we had Domino's pizza.
Fridays, right?
Fridays. Okay. And I remember it was $1.50 a slice.
Party day. Yeah.
So it was $1.50 a slice of Domino's. And I remember going up to a teacher and being like, this is too expensive. I was like, a pizza is like $6. You're charging $1.50. It's like the pizza. And I remember them saying something effective like, Jonah, if you think it's too expensive, don't buy it. But I remember being like, feeling like it was this injustice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was expensive.
Yeah. Now you go to like a fancy pizza place, you're paying $30 for like a 12-inch pie, right? You know, I'm paying $1.50. I mean, don't get me started. But but yeah, I remember having this kind of visceral attitude being like, this seems like a total ripoff.
Yeah, and every fourth Friday, it would be Mexican Pizza Day.
Oh, I don't remember that. That sounds good, though.
And was that something that was made in the cafeteria?
I think it was made there. It was like a circle.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other real big lunch issue was like, remember, we were not supposed to leave campus for lunch.
In high school,
even if you had a car. And I remember like sneaking out to go to like McDonald's or Burger King and there was someone monitoring it. And it was like this whole huge ordeal.
Wow.
Did you guys ever sneak out to get lunch? Did you ever sneak out to Burger King? No.
I never even tried.
Yeah, you could do it. It was risky.
Jonah was taking a lot of risks between sneaking out to go like a block away to go to McDonald's and putting. We've talked about this so many times, but Jonah also had a book scam at where he helped contribute to the
demise of Borders. I would go, me and my friend would go to Walden Books. We'd buy a bunch of books on clearance. Then we'd take them to Borders, say we got these as gifts, return them, no receipt, and they would give you the full credit and we would buy CDs. So we'd spend $20 on hardcover books.
Yeah.
And then we would get like $200 in credit at Borders to buy like, I don't know, like Bell and Sebastian import CDs or like whatever, you know. Yeah. So it was a pretty good, they caught on eventually, but yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Dan Patton used to get deep into this.
That's awesome.
And I was using a fake ID and then I got busted because my friend's sister was working the counter and she was like, why are you using a fake ID to return books? And so being that age, I just said, hold on, I forgot something in the car and just left.
Nice.
So that's how you dealt with things. And that's so funny because I feel like that's so much how I dealt with things at that age. If something was stressful, I didn't know how to react, I would just be like, I'm just going to leave.
Yeah.
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 That was kind of your...
That's kind of my move.
Kind of your MO.
Yeah. You don't get a lot of resolution, though. Yeah. You got to... Then he called me, then I had to deal with it, you know, so...
Your friend called you and was like, why were you using a fake ID and why did you just run away from my sister at Borders? Yeah. Very weird. Okay, I just want to revisit something really quickly. So you two never crossed paths in...
I don't think so. I mean, you know, Andy, I was like playing in bands a lot. Like in high school, I was playing like the Euclid Tavern or the Grog Shop, or like I was really involved in like punk and hardcore and that kind of play, you know, that stuff. But it sounds like you weren't really as into that type of stuff.
I was going to the Odeon back then and seeing Genesis tribute bands.
Okay.
You know, I was seeing stuff like that. I was in a weird circle back then. Yeah, I didn't go to the Grog Shop then or any of that stuff in that era. That was more college. I discovered like different music.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. The Odeon, I would definitely go to the Odeon. Yeah, it was kind of interesting because I had a guitar teacher in Solon and he kind of would take me out with his band. And so like they would play gigs at like Peabody's Cafe or like the Odeon or all these. So I saw a lot of these places when I was like 15, 16. So that kind of exposed me to a lot of that stuff.
I remember being in like 8th, 9th grade and some older kids, they played Pink Floyd's Money or something at a big assembly. And they looked really cool to me. I guess it wasn't you though. I don't remember.
No, but Jonah has an epic story. I almost got the Orange Talent show in high school shut down permanently, according to Mr. Hegner, because
Brady Talent show.
Was it Brady Talent show?
Well, that was Mr. Hegner was Brady, right?
Yeah. Maybe it was 7th grade. It's 7th or 8th grade. I think it was at the high school.
Maybe it was at the high school.
Okay. Because you had to rehearse to be in it. It was like this whole big thing. Like I rehearsed with some guy. Anyways, my band played and we were like a punk band and like our singer tried to get a mosh pit started and like spit on the audience or something. And like Mr. Hegner freaked out and was like, no kids from other schools can be in the talent show. Because it was a bunch of kids from like Shaker and other schools I was friends with. I was friends with like a lot of kids from other schools at that point in my life. And it was so funny because he was like, we're going to never have a talent show again. And he thought this would be a punishment. Me and my friends were like, this is so cool. We shut down the whole talent show. Like, we thought it was awesome. And it was so, it was like the opposite reaction they wanted.
Wow, that's great.
Really?
But we did that. Yeah, we played that. But yeah, I guess we weren't really crossing over in the music. I was also a couple years older. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't interact much with the 98 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 98. Yeah.
98 for life. Well, 2000.
We're 00, which was on our jackets, and that really caused a ruckus back in the day.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And by the way, when I was introducing you, I said seniors 2000 rule. Do you remember this sort of controversy about the 2000s? Andy and I both graduated in the year 2000, and do you remember there were like t-shirts that like the popular girls made that said 2000 on them, but like not everyone got one. And then the school made a rule that everyone had to get one. I'm remembering the story so poorly.
I remember first day of senior year, I was walking in and a bunch of people, they were wearing senior shirts. And I was like, I don't have a shirt, but it didn't even occur to me I'd possibly be getting one, you know? So
yeah,
no, I don't recall that.
I just remember everyone saying seniors 2000 rule.
Yeah.
And it's something that I still say to a lot of people when I see them. from our high school.
Right. Y2K. Remember that? Remember that one?
Oh, wow.
The computers.
Yeah.
That was, people didn't know what was going to happen, you know?
Yeah. And it was nothing. Yeah.
It was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. We're going to take a quick commercial break and then be back with our friend Andy Green.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
And we're back. Andy, before we get into this game, there is one more topic that you sent that I just wanted to touch on. And it was essentially this idea that Beverly Hills 90210 set some kind of unrealistic expectations about high school would be what it would be like.
Yes. I watched a lot of that show in the first two seasons because my sister is 5 years older. So I was pretty young. I was 9, 10 years old watching the show. And high school, it kind of scared me. It was this big brick building. And the kids there were so old looking. It's just, I couldn't imagine being in those hallways. It just petrified me. Then I'm watching this show where everybody is like a model and like 31 years old and dealing with cults and rape, and a kid dies when he's a gun that he's like throwing around his finger.
Yeah.
And everything was so dramatic. And then prom came and you had to like wear a tux and look like Luke Perry. And it was just, I would sit there on the couch just being like, oh my God, I'm scared for middle school, but this shit, oh my fucking God, I don't know how I'm going to do any of this.
Yes.
You know, and I didn't think that in the summers I would like work out at like a surf club or anything, but I definitely thought it would be more sophisticated and more weighty issues were to be dealt with on a weekly basis than actually happened when I got there. And that I would look much older, whereas it was much more like Freaks and Geeks than actually 90210 when it actually happened.
Yes.
It was interesting. I still remember, and I think it was because we were having rehearsal for Stagecrafters, which was our after-school theater program or something, and we were rehearsing at the high school. And I remember the same thing about the high school being like, as like a 9 or 10 year old, it was like, this school is so enormous. It is so scary. How does anyone know where they're going at any time? It's just like, it was like, it felt like it was like an amphitheater or something. Like it felt like it was just like,
In your defense, in both your defense, you know, it was 8th through 12th grade. So you do have like 13-year-olds and like 18-year-olds. And that's a pretty big gap.
Also, we only had like 200 people in a grade. So it wasn't like it was like
That's enormous.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the age difference was big.
The age difference was big. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And we go there to swim when we were at Brady. And right. It was scary enough that he had to like go in the locker room and put on a bathing suit and go do laps and everything. It was petrifying. And then to walk through those halls and have wet hair and be so little. And it was just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Do you remember that we had a day when you were at Brady where you went to visit the high school?
Yeah.
And like you'd meet high school kids. And I remember I was wearing a Megadeth shirt. And like, I was this little kid, I was like in seventh grade. And I remember like these guys being like, oh, this guy's like into, you know, it's like, but I remember it was so scary. Like you're dealing with, like you have to go visit the classrooms and all these kids are kind of like feeling, I don't know. I remember like feeling out the vibe. It was really, I remember wearing the shirt and having been so scared talking to these high school kids who seemed so old. Yeah.
I remember there was a bomb threat or something and we had to go to the high school and they served us lunch in the cafeteria and they gave us all free like chicken nuggets. This is what I remember about it. And I remember being like, this day is awesome. Like,
it was the best day ever. I love bomb scare day. Yeah. That we were in the theater for hours. Just like, fuck yeah. You know, it was great.
Also, speaking of the theater in the high school, Andy and I had sort of an infamous grade in that we couldn't have people come speak to us at assemblies. Is that what it was? Because we were so rude. And we would talk through, what was the rule? We were
so rowdy and such little assholes. And anybody would come in, there'd be a voice in the back of the theater like, penis! You know, we just couldn't be trusted to deal with anybody. We were like a notoriously bad grade.
Yeah. And so they were like, you don't get assemblies anymore. Like, these are a privilege and you don't get them anymore. And
yeah.
Because our grade would just like yell and talk
through.
Yeah,
but it's like the talent show. It's like, we didn't want it anyways. You're taking away something that no one wants.
Maybe give us some privileges we're interested in, okay?
Right? All right, so let's get into this game. Andy, this game is called Change.Dork.
Change.Dork.
Otherwise known as, you know, let's make fun of people who don't know how to use Change.org. So in this game, we're going to bring up three different somewhat nostalgic things people are trying to bring back on Change.org, and we'll each vote for our favorite.
Great.
So this first one is called Change Cookie Crisp Back to Its Original Flavor. This is 33 signatures. It's made out to General Mills. It's kind of long, but I'll read a little. It says, years before the age of forgetfulness, a sweet treat of undeniable grandeur existed. It was a taste of joy and a magical concoction of cookie and milk flavor. This was the original 80s and 90s experience known as Cookie Crisp. Sometimes in the 2000s, General Mills decided their indoctrination vis-a-vis the dog mascot had been significantly enacted. Now the cereal must change its flavor to that of a vaguely depressing chocolate whisper on top of whole grain, deliberately made to sound like corn-imbued dog food. Anyways, this person is basically saying they changed the recipe of Cookie Crisp in the early 2000s and it's not as good and it's not as cookie tasting. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. If you buy Cookie Crisp, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
You're getting just an injection of sugar like straight into your spine, basically. So why water it down? I fully agree. It should go back to like the previous version.
Okay, fair enough. Vanessa, you have any thoughts on this?
Yes, I do think it's interesting that they changed it. I agree with Andy. I think this is, you know, sometimes I get annoyed with the people writing these petitions because I think they get like a little self-serious and, you know.
Yeah, they're using some three-syllable words in this. It's a lot for a Cookie Crisp thing.
A sweet treat of undeniable grandeur existed. It's like, we get it. But
right.
I do think there is a point that like that Andy made, which is that if you're buying Cookie Crisp, you know what you're buying. And it just doesn't, I don't know why they're kind of watering it down.
Yeah.
Jonah, what about you?
Yeah, well, you know, I can put aside my issues with the CEO of General Mills, Jeff Hammerning.
Oh, yeah.
He's been someone who I've had a lot of issues with over the years.
That's right.
But I will say I'm going to take Jeff's side on this one. Only because, yeah, it's like, I feel like it's just going to be unhealthy. Like, it's probably like maybe slightly less unhealthy, but it doesn't taste good. If this is an indulgent thing, just make it what it is. Like, I feel like trying to make stuff that's really bad for you and then being like, it's a little lower calorie. It's like, what's the point at this, you know? So to me, it seems a little silly. Go back to the original one. At least you know what you're getting. Vanessa, you want to get into the next petition?
The next one is called Bring Back the Old TGIF to ABC. So obviously already probably piquing a lot of our interest. So this was a petition that this woman made to ABC. It has 24 signatures. So
It's getting there.
And she wrote, I am starting this petition because at a time like this in the world, I feel as if people need to be reminded of nostalgia and happy times. Okay, listen to our podcast, ma'am. The 90s was such a fun and laid-back generation to be a kid. At times like these, I think we need a break from the news, and TGIF was a happy time for many. I'm urging ABC to bring back the old TGIF blocks from years ago and put them on Friday nights. Everyone seems to be staying home nowadays, and it would be a perfect throwback to a simpler time. I'm talking all the old classics like Family Matters, Perfect Strangers, Full House, Step by Step, Boy Meets World, etc. Every week could be dedicated to different shows so that we get a variety. It would also be neat to be able to see the TGIF hosting parts that were made so famous. It would take us all back in time to happiness. I understand that these shows are on Hulu, but why not bring it to a universal network seen by all so that it's free to all who want to watch, kind of like a nod to the past. Please help me out and sign this petition and bring back happier times. Okay, what do we think, Andy?
I don't think it makes sense to show TV shows that aired 30 years ago on a network to the whole country. I do agree that some reboots would be in order. I would love more Perfect Strangers. They're both alive. They're both willing. And with Suzanne Summers' tragic death this past week, I think Step by Step would be tough to pull off. But
I think what this person is saying actually is, I think this person's saying, She just wants to show the old ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy. I mean, because you can watch those on Hulu. Again, they've been 30 years ago, but they could revive Family Matters. That they're all around. That story needs to be finished. I've given it much thought about how it could happen. It's a frequent topic when I talk with Daniel, our mutual friend, and it has to happen. They did Full House. It's the next in line.
I feel like you're right. And actually, Carl Winslow is showing up in a lot of stuff. He's in that commercial recently. Yeah.
He's in Die Hard.
And the show ended. He's in, and in Die Hard 2 in a brief cameo. And I think in Turner and Hooch that he's always a cop. He was born to be a cop.
Yeah.
But the show ended with Steve and Laura finally dating, but it just ended. They didn't get married. They didn't have kids. We need to see what happened.
Yeah, I think we need to see what happened. Okay, so you're not for this petition, but you're for a version of this petition, which is to just bring back Family Matters.
Yes.
Okay, Jonah, what about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, these shows were good, but yeah, kind of to Andy's point, you can still watch them. I think these reboots can be tricky. I had COVID last week, so I was watching a lot of stuff. One of the things I watched was the Frasier reboot. It's rough stuff.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, it's rough. And I know one of your topics was Quantum Leap that obviously got a reboot. I don't know what your thoughts were on that.
It's a bullshit reboot. Okay. It's a bullshit reboot because there's no Bakula. If there's no Scott Bakula, it's not Quantum Leap. Fuck this new version.
Yeah. Okay. So like I said, it's tough to do. I think these shows, I do think there is something nice about like sitting down and having a block of shows you look forward to all week. But again, I think it's, kids today are going to see these shows as so dated, and adults, like, we just kind of have stuff to do. It's hard. So I think it's kind of unrealistic, but I can appreciate the sentiment from a nostalgic point of view. Vanessa, what about you?
Well, yes, I appreciate it too. You know, I think this idea to this person is better in theory than in practice. I will say, I don't know, a few months ago I was watching TV and I was on some weird network and they were showing reruns of Step by Step, and it's pretty low. Like I think like Family Matters is genuinely a better show than Step by Step, and that is no burn to Suzanne Summers.
Yes, it's okay. No one affiliated with Step by Step is listening to this podcast.
I don't know, but I think there's, I don't mean to group them all as like being one level of funny, but I do think like some of that stuff, it seems like a better idea than it is. Now, I just also have to tell a story really quickly, which is that I was recently at our friend Jamie's wedding, Jonah, and one of Jamie's friends was there, and she was like, "This is my husband, Ryder." And I was like, "Oh my God." And it was Ryder Strong, otherwise known as Sean from Boy Meets World. And it was like, yeah, I know his name is Ryder. You don't have to introduce me to him, which it was nice of this woman to introduce me to her husband. She was actually, Alex, she was really cool. But it was so crazy because I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, I knew I was going to a wedding. I didn't know I was going to like a place where I'd get to meet Ryder Strong.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So incredible. Congratulations to Jamie and Phil on their wedding.
Yes. And not to make it about myself, what a cool thing to get to do to meet Ryder Strong at their wedding. The coolest thing was them, you know, getting married.
Right.
Okay. So I would say, I would say that I'm not as for this. I appreciate this person's sentiment, but as I said earlier, before I got sort of went on a tangent, I recently watched a few episodes of Step by Step, and I just don't know that these shows are gonna have the same effect however many years later, especially the original versions.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think we talked about this a little bit when we had Mind Bialk on, because I think Blossom was part of that.
Yes, which I do think they should reboot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, so this last one is called Bring Back 90s Hot Topic. And this one has 31 signatures. A lot of people miss the old Hot Topic. The current Hot Topic is boring, not as unique. It used to be an easy access place for any form of the alternative community to shop in person. It consisted of Trip NYC pants, platforms, good quality chains, alt band shirts, etc. Now Hot Topic rarely has cute clothes to buy, and its band shirts are now mostly people like The Weeknd, Billie Eilish, Ariana Grande, etc. I want to bring back at least a little bit of its former era back. So Andy, what do you think about the 90s Hot Topic reboot?
I mean, I think a lot of people, they want the world to be the same world that it was back when they were 15.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And things change. The emo scene is not around much. You know, it's very different. That Billie Eilish is for the current kids. And I think times change, and it's right for Hot Topic to change with the times.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, this was a tough one for me. I don't know if you remember this site. There was this site, Hot Topic ran, called Shockhound. Okay, so they it sold stuff. It was an offshoot of Hot Topic, but it was like editorial. So I'd do like interviews and stuff. And so actually at one point, I went to Hot Topic's headquarters, which was in like Studio City or something. And it was, it's so funny. My editor was this guy, Randy, who's a great guy, I still write for sometimes. And I remember walking into this huge building, and like this woman in front of us had like really tall, like striped socks. And I was like, all right, this is like the Hot Topic. And each boardroom had like a different theme, because we got a tour, and they were like, this boardroom is like the surgeon room. And so it's like a steel table with like weird like stuff. And like, and like the CEO of the company was there, and she was on like some kind of treadmill desk with like a walking desk with like and they had like seven of these super big, and it was a huge warehouse. I think they like ship stuff out of there. And yeah, I mean, I never really went to Hot Topic. I worked at this record store in Mentor Ultrasound Music, which is like a punk and hardcore store and metal. And so Hot Topic always seemed like a little kind of too corporate for me, but I was into a lot of the stuff they sold, probably especially the vinyl. So I think it's cool to have that stuff. I do think that stuff kind of still does exist. Like if you go, you know, like I was actually recently at Newbery Comics, and they had a ton of vinyl in Boston. I actually ran into my friend Mikey from All American Rejects there. He was vinyl shopping too. And it's like,
yes.
So there are stores that still sell this stuff. But yeah, to your point, Andy, you got to sell the stuff that's kind of relevant to what's happening now. And I'm sure, Andy, you personally get a lot of this at Rolling Stone, where people are like, why aren't you covering this, like, Foreigner's not in the Rock Hall? Or like, you know, why aren't you covering this thing? And it's like, right, because like, this is not the stuff that, as like, we need to sell ads, like we need to write about stuff like people care about more.
Yes, it's a frequent topic around here that no matter what we do, that we anger so many people.
Yes. And I think also like the baggage of it being Rolling Stone and having that like legitimacy and that history, it's like, well, you wrote about this band 60 years ago. I don't understand why you're not writing about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get so mad if we cover Young X, and the kids are annoyed if it's old stuff. You can't win.
Yeah.
Can't win. So yeah. So I like the fact that there's a store at the mall. Yeah. Where you could get like, you know, whatever, like a Pennywise CD, and you know, that's in the mainstream culture in some way. But I think you can find all that stuff now if you look for it. And it's like these stores are just have to keep the lights on. So
yeah,
good. It's like this other one. Good thought, but I'm not sure it works in execution. Vanessa, what are you thinking? Hot Topic.
Well, first of all, I looked up Shockhound. It was an online music download site, retail store, and social networking platform launched by Hot Topic in 2008.
Yep.
Now, it was only around for a few years. It closed down in 2011. So
you
got to visit those Shockhound offices in their peak, but very short era that they were happening. But I agree with both of you. I think, you know, Hot Topic has to, first of all, it really made me laugh when this person said good quality chains.
Good quality
They're implying they still sell chains, but they're not good quality. God, you know, that just made me remember too, Jonah. Remember you would walk around with a chain on your wallet.
Yeah, and you know where I got it? Ryan Newman's dad owned like an Ace Hardware, and we'd go to the hardware store and pick out little chains, and I'd put on my wallet around my neck. Or you had to go to the hardware. Yeah. We didn't have Hot Topic. We had to go to the hardware store.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was seventh grade when the chain wallets hit, and they were everywhere. And I was like, man, I am not cool enough to carry this off. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you the problem with the chain wall, especially I would get the really thick ones. You'd sit on a bench or something that had grooves and then the chain would get stuck in between like the slats and then you couldn't stand up and you'd be pulling on it and it was a lot of work.
Yeah. It seems like you kind of dodged a bullet there, Andy, but I could see.
Yeah, like for Carson Bassett, it worked perfectly. For Michael Wasserman, it was, it was like born with him. It was so natural. Fit,
yeah,
but not for me. I didn't even try. Yeah,
not for everyone. So Vanessa, no. So you're kind of thinking.
So I agree with both of you. I think doing the old Hot Topic, it just feels like easy for this person to say who doesn't own the business and have to make money from it. So I don't really agree with this petition, even though I appreciate of course I completely understand the nostalgia of it and wanting to revisit those times, but. It's almost like you'd have to have a different store that sold that kind of stuff and maybe call it something like the original Hot Topic and then just expect to, you know, whoever starts it to just throw money out the window.
So that's a fair point. So Andy, if you had to sign one of these petitions and just bring them back, Cookie Crisp to its original flavor, bring back the old TJF to ABC, or bring back 90s Hot Topic, which one of these would you sign? You don't actually have to sign any of them.
Yeah.
I can send you the links if you want to.
I would definitely go with the cereal. I can go on Hulu and watch old sitcoms. I don't really need Hot Topic to be like it used to be, but I could use some old school Cookie Crisp for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vanessa, what about you?
I'm in agreement with Andy. I like the idea of bringing back the old TGIF, but I actually think it would be so disorienting to on Friday night turn on ABC and just see those old, especially this person also said they'd want to have the old interstitial like host things. It would just be like, what the hell is happening right now? And as Andy said, you can go, you know, you can watch those shows on other networks now. So the repeats. So I would say Cookie Crisp. That would be my vote. What about you, Jonah?
I'm gonna go 90s Hot Topic. I know it's not really possible, but you know, we talked a lot on this podcast about Record Rev in Cleveland shutting down all these stores. Gosh. And so it's like, yeah, such a bummer. And so I think having a store like that would be cool. Mm-hmm. You know, would I go there a lot and buy stuff? Probably not. But I think in theory, a 90s Hot Topic, like selling this like alternative stuff would be a cool store, you know, as long as I don't have to be involved in funding it.
Right.
So, that's where I'm going. And shout out, you know, and I was an employee of ShotGun, so I gotta give them some props.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think we're pretty much in agreement, 2-1, but not bad.
2-1. But I think we're all sort of on the same page, you know?
Yes. So, Andy, do you have anything to promote or where can people learn more about your writing or anything like that?
Yeah, they can just go on the Rolling Stone website and my author page is there and they can see my articles. I saw Stones last night at a small club and I just reviewed that. So that's the newest article.
Wow.
How was that? I read it was really small, right?
It was 500 people. I was right by Daniel Craig and Chris Rock and Elvis Costello. I was right in front. It was just mind-blowingly cool. They played 7 songs. They played 4 new ones and 3 old ones. And I could have touched Mick's foot the entire time. And it was like just absurdly cool.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. That's so amazing. We did this sketch on SNL once where when Mick was, I guess he was the host.
Yeah.
And which was crazy. And we did this karaoke sketch where Fred did his impression of him. And I was... played his wife, Mick Jagger's wife, and Seth wrote the sketch and he was like, and Mick Jagger kept being like, that guy doesn't really sound like Mick Jagger. And I kept being like, yes, he does, Kevin, shut up. Mick Jagger wanted his name to be Kevin, by the way. And Seth was like, I remember when we were rehearsing it, Seth was like, you need to yell at him more. Like, you need to yell at Mick more. And I was like, okay. So I had to be like, shut up, Kevin. He does sound like to Mick Jagger. Shut up. He does sound like Mick Jagger. You're stupid. Like, it was so fun. And it was so crazy to be like, yell at Mick Jagger more about how he doesn't know what Mick Jagger sounds like.
Wow, that's incredible.
It was so crazy. It was really fun. So that was so much fun, Andy. Thank you so much for joining us and to everybody for listening. Oh my God. This was so, obviously we have to have you back on, Andy,
yes.
Because the topics that we didn't even scratch the surface of the incredible topics that you gave us. But to everyone who's listening, if you like this, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we will discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones like keyboarding class. Thank you so much, Andy. This was so great.
Of course, it was so much fun. So thanks to you both.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.